Today, as we come to the table,
let us use politics to hold them down. Do things that will keep the Christians immobilized. Lest they multiply, but I love it because we're going to see they multiply like crazy. And if it does happen, they'll join our enemies. They'll fight against us. And so, you know, they'll go up out of the land. So again, we see him talking about being crafty and political, and they have to do things so they don't turn against them. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. So they made life hard on the Christians. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, put them in Ramses, again, bringing persecution on them to bring them down, to control them, to put burdens on them. Physical labor for the Jews, but just burdensome laws for the believers. We'd make the application today.
The enemy is sneaky. He's not going to announce himself. He'll use whatever evil, manipulative tactics he can to stop the message of Jesus getting through. It's worked before, and you'll see it firsthand as you join Pastor Mark for his study today. But since Jesus has come and changed people, is Satan still as much of a threat? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. The answer to that question is a resounding yes. Satan will continue to be a menace until Jesus comes back as the conquering king. He'll use whatever he can to, governments, circumstances, weather, even your friends and family. Hold fast to truth so you can see him coming. With that, turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 1 as Pastor Mark continues his message, Satan's persecution of God's people.
God spoke prophetically through Joseph and said, you better put some grain away because the nation's going to be in a famine for 7 years. And Pharaoh knew that it was God because it was supernatural. And so they put away all this grain, and Joseph had all this wisdom, and they prepared the nation. The nation survived it. Look, if it had not been for the Christians, and I'm going to call them Christians. I know Jesus wasn't born yet. I know they didn't call them Christians. But for our understanding's sake, the believers of that day, it was because of the Christians, to use modern day vernacular, the believers in God, that the nation of Egypt not only was blessed, but survived. Had it not been for God using Joseph and the Jews, Egypt would have been destroyed. How many of you guys saw that big dust cloud that poured over Arizona this last couple of days? Anybody see that on the news? It was a scary sight, wasn't it? That was an awesome sight. There's this huge dust cloud. I think it was something like 15 miles long, and I don't know how deep. And it was just this wall of dust that went thousands of feet up in the air and just, you know, just was sweeping across, coming from Tucson up toward, you know, Phoenix. And it was just a big blanket of dust in its path. It was unbelievable. It literally had a beginning. It was a big wall you could see moving. And it covered this whole area. You know what I'm thinking? That's what it must have been like during the famine, during the days of Joseph. And it was nationwide that way. And had they not prepared, the nation would have starved to death. They would have died. Or they would have had to leave and go somewhere else. It wouldn't have been a nation. That was because of the children of God that that nation survived. God used them to be a blessing to that nation. If it hadn't been for this ancient Christian, if you will, Egypt wouldn't even have existed any longer. Yet now it says this new Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph. And again, he had no fear of God. He had no respect for God or for the God of Joseph. And actually saw them as a threat. Rather than seeing them as a blessing to the nation, which God had used them, now they're the bad guy. Do you see that happening a little bit in our nation today? Rather than the Christian being seen as the reason America's blessed, guys, we're the bad guy. We're the ones causing the problem. We're not tolerant enough. We're not going along with the sin of Egypt around us. We're speaking out against it. And because of that, we're bigoted, or we're narrow-minded, or we're haters, whatever word you might want to use. That's what's happening. And what's really amazing is again, you talk about seeing history repeat itself. It's because the enemy uses the same tactic over and over. This is not something that's new here. I guess if you wanted to put this again in modern day vernacular, you could say it this way. A new president came along who did not have favor toward the Christians. That would be a modern day translation. A new president, a new Pharaoh, he was their president who didn't know. And I say that so we can associate. It's hard for us to think about a Pharaoh. But it's like having a president put in place that doesn't really have favor toward the Christians and doesn't really like them and starts making their life hard. And then over time, it gets worse and worse and worse. And finally, the Christians begin to cry out to God and say, God, you got to rescue us. And the exciting thing to me about this kind of story is God does. God begins to rescue. When the Christians begin to cry out, God rescues them. He delivers them. And we're going to see that again as God delivers them, you know, out of the nation of Egypt here. And again, a huge lesson for us in this, guys, because note this. This is amazing to me. All it takes is one generation to pass without passing the torch on of God to our kids for a Pharaoh to raise up that doesn't know Joseph. That's scary. It's scary. You can forget that quick. Why are we blessed? What happened to our nation? Why was it the very first session of Congress there was a three-hour prayer meeting to start it? The first session of Congress. It was either 3 or 4 hours. I don't remember. It may have been longer, but that's how they started Congress. Today, they're passing laws. You almost can't even say the name Jesus when you're praying at some of the government things. Why? Because there's a new Pharaoh. There's a new generation that doesn't know Joseph. I don't know Joseph. Who's Billy Graham? He's some old guy that's about to die. And didn't he do some kind of crusade or something? Oh, yeah. Weren't the crusades when the Christians did bad things to the Muslims? I'm not sure what that's all about, but he's some old guy. And the problem is the Joseph of our generation is about to die. And this new generation doesn't really know Joseph. And I see a tide turning in our nation. It doesn't mean that God can't send revival. It won't. We need to be praying for that. But when I see how what happened here with the nation of Egypt and how it only takes really a generation to forget Joseph, guys, we need to be training up the next generation about the Lord, don't we? Our kids, everybody around us, we need to be raising them up, because when you get pharaohs in who don't know the God of Joseph, they begin to oppress the Christians, and that's happening in our nation. I hate to say it, it's happening. We used to be the ones that had the favor. We used to be the ones that, oh, you're a Christian, wow. Now it's, oh, you're a Christian. There's the troublemaker. Remember Ahab and how it was in the days of Ahab when he runs into Elijah? First thing Ahab says to Elijah, oh, there you are, troubler of Israel. Wait a minute. Who was the one that was a blessing to Israel? It was Elijah. Who was the troubler of Israel? Ahab. And yet here's Ahab telling the blessed of God, he's the troubler of Israel. We've got it going on in our nation right now. We're the reason our nation has not been judged already. I'm convinced of that. It's because of you guys in this room that America's even around. And it's because we've stood with Israel that we're around. And that's changing, isn't it? Did you know that we just listed Israel as a terrorist nation? Our government, our leadership just listed Israel as the first time in America's history. Israel, a terrorist nation that listed them as helping terrorists. Guys, we have a Pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph. So this book is very, very appropriate to the day in which we live. So I think God's going to use it in a special way, and I think God's going to use it to warn us. I think God's going to use it to prepare us. I think God's going to use it to get us to pray, and we need to be praying for our nation so our nation would be, you know, raised up again. God can restore this, and God will restore it because God is faithful. And what's interesting here, again, when you have a Pharaoh or a nation that doesn't know Joseph, rather than being grateful for what God has done through the Christian community, they begin to see them as the problem. How can we deal with them? What laws can we pass to squelch them? How can we paint a picture of them that will make the rest of society reject them and not like them? And you're going to see Pharaoh do that. Satan's going to pull all the stops out. But remember, it's not Pharaoh. It's who is above him, right? It's how he's being used. So by not knowing Joseph, this believer, again, it really, who they really were, what they did, it brings trouble and problems for the nation. It's interesting here that Pharaoh, it says, was afraid of the people of God. Notice it, he was afraid of the people of God because they were too numerous. You know, it says there, he's worried about them. They're getting too numerous. He didn't know Joseph. Look at verse 9. He said, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. So he's afraid of them. And that's interesting because although they may not like Christians oftentimes, those in leadership, they know there's something there. There's some power to that. And notice he gives the reason for that. He says, come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And it happen in the event of war that they join our enemies and they fight against us. And so they go up out of the land. In other words, they fight against our position, our power, and we lose power. You know, and then they might even fight against the enemy and then actually leave the land. So we're going to lose their slavery. So again, they were using them as slaves at that time. So they're worried if war breaks out, as well as the slave labor that they had with the nation of Israel. It's just amazing to me when I think about the parallels here. Because Christianity being such a foundation of our national beginning and our heritage, the only way Satan can control, subdue the Christian community is to pass laws to force us to be quieter, to make it illegal maybe to speak about certain things. Have you seen that happening in our laws recently? Guys, right now they're trying to pass laws to say that Christians can't teach parts of the Bible. Now, you guys may not all be aware of that. I've shared that with you in the past. I'm very aware of it as a pastor. But there are those right now in power who are trying to make it illegal for me to teach certain portions of the Bible. And if things keep going the way they are, it's eventually going to get that way. What are we going to do? What are you going to do? You better make up your mind right now. This is not some He-Man woman haters club, you know, like the Little Rascals. I'm going to be a He-Man, right? You know, and I'm not talking about being puffed up with pride and being like Peter, you know. Though everybody else deny you, Lord, I won't. Listen, I'm just as weak as you guys, but I've made up my mind. God, by your power, I'm asking you to help me, not to deny you. I'm asking you to let me really stand on your word if these laws pass and it comes down. I don't want to flake out. And I know my weakness. So God, you give me the power. I'm not going to depend on Mark's strength. I don't have it. I'm going to depend on your strength. But you've got to make up your mind. What's going to happen? What's going to happen when it's illegal to tell certain people that they're in sin for what they're doing? What are you going to do? That couldn't happen in America. Really? It's already happening in part. I mean, there are people behind the scenes pushing for this, and it's demonic. It's larger than people. Remember, our battle's not against flesh and blood. But understand, guys, it is happening. And I think when I really realized the reality of how close America was, when verse 8 popped in my mind, then there was a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph. And I was like, wow, we're there, God. How did this happen? And now it's time to deal with it. We better be prepared in advance. You know, it's almost like if you don't know what you're going to do before something happens, that's going to be an emergency or a decisional moment, then you're probably going to blow it. You got to make up your mind right now. When that happens, here's where I'm standing. You know, it's almost like when Peter and John were standing there before the Sanhedrin, the Congress of that day. That was their Congress. So here's Peter and John standing before the Congress and the president, the high priest, and they say, you can't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. What'd they say? Look, whether it's right to obey you or God, you decide. I have no choice but to obey God. He's the highest authority, so I will obey him. You know, they couldn't shut him up. You know, Yosemite Sam, you know. Egypt dragon, you know, but whatever, you know. Rabbits. Sorry, I gotta stop. You can see my upbringing. But I love it because although all this pressure is coming against them, guys, we're gonna see they continue to multiply. And listen, here's what happens. When the enemy begins to turn the heat up on God's church, the true Christians begin to multiply and they get stronger. And here's what's gonna happen. If we see America, the heat really turned up on the church, our ranks are gonna thin. Some of you guys won't be here. I'm not judging you. I'm just going historically. Some of us are going to flake out. We're going to get afraid. We're going to just kind of not want to be associated because we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to go to jail. We don't want anybody to hate us. We don't want whatever it is. But what happens is, for those of us that remain, we're strong, guys. God gives a constitution that can't be broken. He gives us a stronger forehead than the enemy. You know, you have a face like flint. You're set toward Jerusalem. You're like, you know what? I don't care what happens. If I die, I win. What do you do with a guy like that? You can't stop. That's why Paul, I couldn't stop him. I love that whole story about Polycarp. Remember, he was a disciple of John there in Ephesus, and that whole story that was recorded about his life, and they had him here in front of this huge crowd getting ready to kill him because he was this Christian, and persecution was turning up in Rome, and they said to him, if you don't denounce God, you know, we're going to feed you to the lions or feed you. He said, I don't care. He said, I'm not worried about that. He said, I know where I'm going when I die. He said, if you don't deny Polycarp right now, if you don't deny God, we're going to burn you at the stake. He said, the fire that I will endure for a brief moment is nothing compared to the fire that you'll endure eternally if you don't repent. I'm not worried. See, that's the kind of place we have to be. And that doesn't happen by our own strength. We don't make up our mind. I'm going to be really brave. I'm telling you guys, it won't work. We're made of what? Dust. We just have to say, God, I want to honor you, and I want to honor you till the day I die, so I need you to help me. You've got to give me power. If you don't give me power, I can't do this, but you know my heart. Here's my desire. I'm sharing it right now. I desire to never deny you. I desire to go even to the death if I need to for you, but I can't do that because I'm scared like anybody, Lord. I don't like to hurt, and I don't look forward to things like that. That's a scary thought in these bodies. But you give me the strength. Guys, historically, God has proven he gives the strength. He gives the ability. He just does. Story after story of people that have watched other believers die. They were so bold at their death. I remember reading, if any of you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, hearing one story about a dad who's there and they're about to put him to death. If the wife and the child don't recant Christ, they're going to murder them right there. And the dad is standing there saying to his little girl, don't deny Christ, let him kill you. And I try to put myself in that position looking at one of my little girls and saying, let him kill you. Don't deny Christ, honey, let him kill you right now. That's supernatural, guys. Now, for some of you moms after a hard day, that's probably normal. But But when it really comes down, guys, to the real deal, that's supernatural. That's absolutely, so you're laughing too much. I'm worried about that. But guys, how does the enemy do it? How does he bring persecution? You know, some of the ways he does it is, you know, making the church look foolish. If you can make the church look foolish, you can keep the ranks from growing. If you can make the church think they're going to be persecuted, if you make them look foolish in TV and in movies, if you call them narrow-minded, homophobic, if you call them bigots, if you call them haters. Guys, remember, I've shared this with you before. Back in the days of Rome, when the persecution was the worst against the Christians, what were they called? But remember? Haters of men. The nickname for the Christian during the days of Rome was the haters of men. Do you find that interesting, a lot of what's happening today in the media? Because why were they called haters? Here's why they were called haters. They were loving people, but they were saying, this sin is wrong, that sin is wrong, you need to repent. Unless you repent, you can't come to Christ, you can't be saved. You're just a hater, you're ugly, and you're just this, and you're not accepting, and you're not tolerant, whatever. Does anybody see a little bit of a repeat going on here in our generation? If we say that certain sins are sin, we're going to be told that we're haters. But we've got to continue to love and not pay attention to what they say, because we know that we're loving them. So he dealt shrewdly with them. Notice that verse 10, he said, come, let us deal shrewdly. It means politically. Isn't that interesting? Let us use politics to hold them down, pass new laws, do things that will keep the Christians immobilized, lest they multiply. But I love it because we're going to see they multiply like crazy. And if it does happen, if in a world they'll join our enemies, they'll fight against us, and so, you know, they'll go up out of the land. So again, we see him talking about being crafty and political, and they have to do things so they don't turn against them. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. So they made life hard on the Christians. And they built for Pharaoh supply cities, put them in Ramses, again, bringing persecution on them to bring them down, to control them, to put burdens on them. Physical labor for the Jews, but just burdensome laws for the believers. We'd make the application today. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I love it. Guys, the more you persecute the church, the stronger it gets. Remember Pastor Zhu? He was like in China. The more they persecuted him, what happened? The stronger the church grew and the more they multiplied. The same thing is true today. It doesn't change. So they continue so much. It says, notice they were in dread of them. They afflicted them. They multiplied. They were in dread of the children of Israel. It means they grieved over them. They loathed them and they abhorred them. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, you know, making it hard on them, turning up the heat on them governmentally so that they would, you know, be discouraged. And again, it's just one of the tactics of the enemy. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Notice it ends here, this first section where we end tonight, by saying that the government made the believers' lives in Egypt bitter and under hard bondage, serving with rigor, making their lives a hardship. I hate to say this, but unless our nation turns back, I see our nation going the same direction. Now, Mark, thank you for the very encouraging study tonight. Really appreciate that. It is encouraging. Why? Here's why it's encouraging, guys. I want you to be encouraged, because although the government began to turn against the believers and turn the heat up against the believers, God strengthened them, God multiplied them, and God delivered them. Who can say amen to that? That's our God. Listen, we don't have to be afraid. I want you to be encouraged. Don't be afraid by the laws that are being passed. Don't be afraid by the attitude that's changing. Let it drive you to prayer. Let it drive you to love more. Let it drive you to cry out to God, because God has been faithful historically to believers, and God is going to be faithful to us all the way till the end. No worries. Simply rejoice in our God, because he's going to do it. Remember, no matter how bad it gets down here, guys, we win in the end. Here's the question. Number one, if you're a believer, are you committed to the very end? You need to make up your mind right now and not wait until that moment that it happens, if it does, because some of you, if you don't, you might find yourself falling away. I only say that because I know the church historically, all right? That's just church history. It's just a reality. You don't have to be one of those numbers. You can make up your mind right now. No, I'm making up my mind. I'm in this thing to the very end, no matter what happens. And the second thing I would say is, if you don't know the Lord, you need to give your life to Christ, because it's not going to get any easier in this world. It's only going to get harder, and you're going to need all the help you can get. So if you don't know the Lord, guys, make that decision tonight. Let's just do it. But let's just pray. Let's ask God to make us really have a strong constitution about our commitment to the Lord and the things of the Lord, regardless of what laws or things come our way. And then if some of you don't know the Lord, then I want to give you an opportunity to receive him. But let's pray. Father, we lift up our nation. I pray for America, and God, I hate to admit that I see America in the book of Exodus, but I really do. The parallels to me are striking. And when I see the pattern of what Satan did in the nation of Egypt to the believers and what Satan is now beginning to do in America, it's very frightful. Lord, we now have a new generation. We have, Lord, a whole generation. We have Egyptians that don't know Joseph. And when a generation rises up that doesn't know Joseph, then Joseph begins to be persecuted. And Lord, that can be a serious issue. And yet at the same time, God, I thank you because we see that when that happens, you grow and you multiply your people, you make them stronger, and you're always faithful to deliver them. Lord, our trust is in you. Our hope is in you. And this doesn't get us down. We rejoice, Lord, at your faithfulness. As a matter of fact, it's a chance for the church to be purified. And we thank you for the purification. God, I pray for the body here at Calvary Knoxville. And of course, I pray for your church worldwide, but I pray specifically for this small flock right here, God, that we're all a part of. God, let us make up our mind right now. We're in this thing till the day we're in the kingdom, Lord. We're going nowhere. No matter what persecution comes, no matter how the laws go, no matter what happens, we're in this thing, Lord, with you because you did it for us. And you laid your life down for us. Now we lay our life down. It may never be and probably won't be physically. Lord, probably none of us in this room will ever have to experience dying for our faith. I see that as very unlikely, even in the way our nation is going at this stage of the game. But Lord, we are going to face having to die to ourselves and to make a stand for you. And maybe even being ridiculed and mocked and called stupid and bigots and all these names. And Lord, having the world around us hate us. But Lord, let us make a stand right now. We're going to stand with you, Lord. And we're not going anywhere. Lord, I love it when you looked at Peter and some of the people started leaving. Your teachings got tough. And some of those who had been disciples started walking away. And you looked at your disciples and said, are you going to leave too? And I'm like, Lord, you know Peter. He said, hey, where would we go? You hold the words of life. Lord, we say with Peter right now tonight, where would we go? The world has nothing to offer us. You hold the words of life. We love you, Lord. We give our life to you. We give it all. And we're in this thing with you, and we give it all just like you gave it all for us. Lord, help us to make that decision tonight. And any listening by radio or by internet to do the same thing right now, to make that decision, because now is when the decision needs to be made. And Father, if there's anyone again by radio or however, and even here tonight that's listening that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that as your Spirit has been working in their heart, that they right now would just make that commitment. You know, the Bible says it's as simple as this. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again from the dead, and he paid for your sins. But now you've got to confess your sin. Confess your sin, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, and then ask him into your heart, believing that he rose again from the dead and is now giving you eternal life. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I believe that you died for me on that cross. And I believe that you died for my sin. Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean. Come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I give my life to you. And I thank you, Lord, for that you gave your life for me. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plotline for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt, but through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net under the Come to the Table link. You can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table.
come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.